You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, and welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, plenty of it, and COVID-19. All right, let's go MLS. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. He's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth all before COVID-19. He's Brandon from the internet.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how I probably won't be... Actually, my wife is the one that reminded me that I probably won't be in any of those places anytime this year, which made me really sad.
Oh, yeah, that's quite the bummer. I mean, to be fair, neither will the players or staff or anyone else that works with these organizations, because this whole world is falling apart real quick. At the same time, I read that the NFL is considering having people sign waivers to let them come to the football games this fall. And I'm like, cool, I'm hearing reports that, sure. I don't know who said it, but it's not like an official thing. But imagine that. Yeah, you could come, you just sign off, and then we'll just stop worrying as soon as you leave about the quarantine that you need to go through so we don't kill old people in retirement homes. Great, thanks.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so MLS cares about its fans. It just doesn't care about the players.
Also, does it care about its fans?
No.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
Also, tell us if you think MLS cares about its fans. Or your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player. Let's say any player that's headed to the tournament. Who's going to have a big tournament? Say that when you go do a review. Oh, good news from the review front.
You know who I think is going to have a good tournament is either a half cup of undercooked potatoes or a rye bread sandwich with nothing but ham and mayonnaise.
Hey, that's a $65 sandwich you're making fun of there, buddy.
Man, talking about sandwiches made me think of Delicatus. Made me want to get one of those Mud Honeys. I'm gonna get one of those.
Screw this. I'll drive down from Snohomish. Let's go.
Speaking of reviews, I'm going to give that sandwich a 5-star review.
All right. Favorite ever Seattle Sounders sandwich.
Oh, man. That's a whole podcast in itself. Favorite ever Seattle sandwich. We did get a review, though. It had really nothing to do with our soccer, which nothing ever does these days.
Good. Perfect review.
This review came from CandyK8, who gave us 5 stars because she listens well.
I believe that's Candy Kate is how you pronounce that.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Remember, Kate or die.
Right. Candy's review says this. She says, or Kate, I don't. Candy Kate says this. She says, "This podcast, Sounders for those who don't take themselves seriously." And her review is this: best bird for sumo, clearly the ostrich.
Now, the follow-up question that you posed to me, Brand, which I've done a bit of research on, is ostrich versus emu in a sumo battle. Who wins?
Okay, first of all, ostrich versus emo?
It's like ostrich with eyeliner on. They have huge eyeballs, too.
Yeah, man, a lot of eyeliner.
Like a choker chain and...
I'm trying to imagine like an ostrich versus an emu.
Imagine Raul Ruiz Diaz as an ostrich.
Not hard to do, first of all.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, I don't know. The research I did on the ostrich versus emu here is that this is a very one-sided battle in any other sport, because emus weigh between 80 and 90 pounds, so say like a 12-year-old, and ostriches weigh between 220 and 265.
Holy smokes.
like a preseason Roman Torres. So what you're doing is you're effectively having a Roman Torres fight a child to decide who would win. And so, I mean, you like to think that Roman Torres could, you know, at least defend against a child. I think that that's fair. But then you look at sumo and you got to take Enho into account. He is only like just over 200 pounds. I think he's like 95 kilograms or something like that. He's just over 200 pounds.
That's tiny. For a fat guy, that's small.
Yeah, he beats up on guys that are like 400 pounds, like almost twice his weight, because he's quick and agile and gets
low. You think of like the, I'm using my hands, which you can see, but listeners can't, but you think of leverage, I suppose, if you're a smaller guy. I don't know if he's actually shorter, but I'm assuming that an emu is shorter than an ostrich.
I've never seen them standing next to each other.
But I don't know if I can assume. Well, that's because they just start fighting as soon as they're in the same room.
It's like I imagine that they hate each other and you have to keep them apart, like beta fish.
They have little bird syndrome.
Now, the famous parable, like David versus Goliath, like, don't rule out the emu, but also, like, you got to think, ostriches are mean as F, man. They are. Those are big predatory birds. I don't think they're actually predators, but I've been to an ostrich farm before. Have you ever indulged?
I have never.
There's one between Tucson and Phoenix.
Which is why I've never.
That's where ostriches flourish, evidently, is in the 110-degree heat of Casa Grande. There's an ostrich farm there, so we went, and they give you like a cup, like the smallest size of popcorn at the movie theater. They give you a cup, and they fill it up with whatever the crap they eat. I can't remember what it was. And then the ostriches come over, and I'll also do an act out, and they peck at the cup. And it's not like they like just nibble like a kitty cat eating a treat out of your hand and you get scared because they have sharp teeth.
Right.
These ones just peck like crazy. And so it's like, whack, whack, whack. And you're like, ah, ah, ah. Inevitably, every child there drops all of their stuff on the ground. And then the ostrich is like, I win again.
Yeah.
Again, Roman Torres versus small child.
A 12-year-old.
I'd like to think that Roman Torres could win. I'm talking, well, never mind. I think that Roman Torres has the advantage here. So when it comes to ostrich versus emu, I think that emu leaves. Ostrich versus emo, I think emo might win with heart.
I don't know. Emo might get a little too intimidated by a 220-pound ostrich.
But wait, if you cry loud enough, does the ostrich get scared?
That's what ostriches are scared of, one thing, and it's being very, very open with your emotions.
Yeah, it's like an emotional overflow is what kills ostrich.
When you play
rock ostrich emu, no. When you play rock ostrich emo, we all know that emo kills ostrich.
Right.
And then does rock kill emo? Right. I guess that.
I think emo kills rock.
Does it? I don't know.
I just sent you a picture because I needed a diagram of a emu next to it.
I'm also looking at this picture.
Yeah. Okay. So I have two thoughts. First of all, emus are either really tiny or ostriches are huge. Like you're a tall guy. When you were next to an ostrich, how big did it feel?
Ostrich taller than Greg.
No.
Yeah, it's
That's
bigger
terrifying
than
to me. That's a straight up dinosaur.
Yeah, dude, they're crazy. I recommend if anyone's ever driven by an ostrich farm, I don't know, there's probably one around here somewhere, Eastern Washington.
Of course.
If you ever drive by one, freaking stop. It is worth the 4.5 minutes of entertainment that you will likely get out of it.
Okay, my second thought is the emu looks like a Monty Python cutout thing where they like put human legs on a like a swan.
Like on a sofa cushion?
Yeah.
Like, they put a bird head on top.
Yeah.
The body looks like it was cut out from a fabric pattern,
right.
like a character on the children's television show Chowder.
Yeah.
Like it looks like they just found some fabric and cut it out and then put a head and some human legs on it. Like from like a really bad like 1890s ballet costume.
Right.
Like that's what the legs look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for all those 1800s ballet aficionados listening right now.
I feel like we have a very weird, like you and I can both talk about NASCAR and ballet in the same conversation because we both have basically the same parents. And
yo, do you want to talk about NASCAR? Because I'm here for it.
I did find myself talking about NASCAR this morning. And now I'm talking. Yeah.
Formula One starts back up tomorrow, which I am obviously pumped about. I feel bad for the human beings that have to get together and get coronavirus in order for me to be entertained, but hey.
Speaking of, how about that MLS?
That MLS Returnament, it's back!
Oh.
So yeah, in the battle of Ostrich versus Emu, sumo battle, it's anyone's match. Like, out of 15, I'm going to say the Ostrich wins. But like, just in a one-time battle, I think it could go either way. So to wrap that up, I feel like we're both saying Ostrich.
I think we both say Ostrich. But if you like threw Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance in there, it all goes out a little bit. Yeah, I don't know how it goes.
Also, Inho fans, don't at me, okay? I don't, no more. I don't need any sumo comments right
now.
Yeah,
you've
okay?
really received a lot of heat for the way that you talked about Inho on this show.
And I'm a big fan, that's the thing. But I try to be objective, so... Poor Inho. Okay, anyway, the big news this week is the MLS is back, the Returnament.
So we are...
I'm surprised why haven't they co-opted that? Why haven't they used that? Like, see it on Reddit and be like, yeah, let's lean into this. Yeah. Let's get people on our side.
Yeah, they just need to call it the Returnament. But they need to do a lot of things, like, one, possibly cancel this Returnament, and probably won't. Yeah,
like, return it to the idea bin that they took it from, just, right. like, put it right back in, close that thing up.
We are going to Returnament this idea into our trash bin.
We're going to return the Returnament and then flash it with some UV light, so maybe we'll use it again next year.
MLS is back to not happening.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
So first of all, this thing is supposed to kick off. We're recording on the 2nd. This thing is supposed to kick off in a week from today on the 9th. And all of the players have until Friday the 3rd of July to report to Orlando. So the Sounders, for instance, have left almost as little time in Orlando as possible before this tournament actually kicks off, because I think they're trying to protect player safety. They're trying to like limit it to you're only hanging out with your families and the players on your team. As far as the Sounders are concerned, they are leaving for Orlando on Friday, which means that they have to quarantine basically for the 1 week up until the tournament starts. The first time that they'll see any other players will be their first match against San Jose, which would be the 10th, right? All of these other teams, it's coming out from MLS and from these other teams' press relations and all these other people, that almost everybody in MLS has tested positive for coronavirus, it sounds like.
There are a lot of positive tests, and it is very frightening.
So yesterday, I think I was looking at this, on the 1st of July, MLS put out an official statement. MLS announces that 18 players and 6 staff members have tested positive for the coronavirus. Since that has come out, multiple teams, Orlando, Dallas, there's been
Wait a second. Hold on. You're saying the team from the place where it's happening has coronavirus?
Yeah, they
get
have like
here.
3 or 4 players or something, and a coach. Dallas comes out and has 6 players, and I'm sure that is they've been in training. So how many people have it and who just haven't tested positive yet for it?
What's that goalkeeper's name that's suspended?
Jesse Gonzalez suspended for domestic violence. First of all.
It's way to step on my joke I'm about to make, because it's going to get weird now. But it's too bad that Jesse Gonzalez is suspended, because he could have showed up and choked the COVID from the team. Oh, he could have just like right there, just like, come on, get out.
Come on, man. Just pretend it's new.
But then you made it about domestic violence when I was saying it was about soccer. So thanks, Brandon. Jesus. Yeah. From the LA Times, the tournament is on thin ice, says Zachary Biney, an epidemiologist at Oxford College of Emory University. It all depends on what we see in terms of positive tests over the next week or so. Like I said before, good thing this isn't the NFL, otherwise the scientists would be burned on a pile of unused face masks and concussion studies. So
it's bananas to me that they're still deciding to move forward with it. Like, every other team is coming out. I mean, Dallas is, if with as many players as they have in this kind of shape or being suspended for doing like actual crimes, who are they going to play?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
This podcast is about upholding the truth.
Right. I think like the only teams that have come out, and this is very indicative of not only MLS at this point, but the entire world, is that the only teams who have come and said that they've had absolutely zero positive tests. Can you guess the three?
Oh, wait, that have said they've had zero tests?
They've had zero positive tests. They've been testing and have had zero positive tests.
They're not using the president strategy of, oh, well, we just haven't tested.
We just haven't tested, so they're fine.
We don't have any positive cases, yeah. Obviously.
Also, no hamstring injuries. Crazy.
Oh, there's one. Damn it.
Shouldn't have tested.
Yeah, who tested for hamstrings?
It's Damn that it. New guy.
Anyway,
if you can guess the three, I won't
there's
be surprised.
No way.
No, you could test. You could guess.
Is it like how the president would talk about it, or is it about teams that are actually doing a good job?
They're actually doing a good job.
Seattle.
They haven't had any positive tests, but I don't think that they've come out and said. No, because they did have one positive test a while back.
Oh. I thought that was just within the organization, though, right?
Yeah,
That was like front office.
I don't know if they said it was front. Was it front office? Yeah, probably front office.
I can't remember.
I'll make it really easy for you. It was the three Canadian teams.
Oh, obviously. I feel so stupid now for not having been able to figure that out. Okay. So congratulations to the Whitecaps and Toronto and Montreal for being able to, I don't know why I said it like that, for being able to use their Canadian smarts and healthcare system to fight it off. Also, terrible decision-making to send your teams to America. They hate it when you say America and Canada. To the United States.
Yeah. To souther, but not furthest South America.
I can't believe the whole tournament is happening.
I know.
Well, at least the teams that have shown up in Florida are being well-treated, though, right? Things are going good.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm assuming that you're alluding to the sandwich photos that are coming from many players at this point.
Now, it's so awesome.
This is all up in the air. So first of all, the relations between the players and the player union and the league is on, like this tournament, is on thin ice because they hammered out a CBA just to be able to play this tournament in the first place. And that CBA, like the way that the MLS treated the union was they basically played their nuclear option and forced the players into a pretty crappy deal, according to the players.
CBA is the collective bargaining agreement between the players' union and the league to determine how people will get paid and how the images of the players will be used and what their responsibility is to live up to their contracts that they've signed in the face of an unforeseen pandemic.
Right. Like a lot of players are taking upwards of 10% or more pay cuts because of the abbreviated season.
I feel their pain.
Yeah. Oh, no. So they're posting these photos right now, and I think that they're just not holding out on their criticism of the way that the league is handling this tournament. Because Omar Gonzalez, who I don't love as a player, but he posts this picture of when I was joking about a half of a cup of undercooked potatoes and a rye bread sandwich with only ham and mayonnaise. That's the picture that he posted, and I can't tell what's going on with the banana, but it looks like it's been eaten out of. It could just be like a visual trick, like the ham is covering it or something, but it looks like it's been like mites have been nibbling on it.
No, it's a visual trick, but I hear you. It definitely looks like that banana has seen better days.
But it's coming out from like, so Total Soccer Show, which is a soccer podcast that does a way better job of talking about soccer than us. They said the update on the MLS food situation is that they said that a source says that the box meals are the room service option for players who couldn't make it to the actual meals in the dining area. So maybe this is what you get if you're in self-quarantine or if you were training during that time or something like that. And the players, it says on like in this photo, he posted a picture of the menu as well, and it says that this meal is $65. And if you look at a picture of the meal, go to Omar Vizquel. Oh, that's a name I haven't said in a long time. The Mariner old. if you go to Omar Gonzalez's Twitter account and look at this picture,
which is
Omar number four and then Gonzalez to be able to see it. It's or just search, just Google it. It's crazy.
If they if you paid $65 for that, you would think that well, you were at an airport.
It's marginally better than what a 12-year-old would eat before fighting against Roman Torres if you were at public school. It's like just marginally better than that.
Yeah.
But it is like for $65, it is it looks like it's overpriced by about $57, maybe 58.
Maybe more. It's like the kind of thing like when you had field day in elementary school, like toward the end of the season or toward the end of the year.
Oh, by the way, we're calling school year seasons from now on.
Yeah, my senior season. It looks like the kind of thing that they give all of the kids who don't give a crap about what they're eating because they're out playing with like those big dumb parachutes.
Oh man, that was the best. My kid for Pride, we bought a rainbow flag.
Yeah,
and he saw it hanging up, and he goes, "Oh, put that on my floor," because he thinks of it as he's two, and he thinks that it's a rainbow parachute that we're gonna, because he already knows that feeling.
Right. So. He's like, yeah, no. First, you need to eat a crappy sandwich.
Yeah, you eat the rest of the banana that should be banana bread, kid.
Anyway. So I mean, just to finish this thought about like the way the players are being treated and like FC Dallas coming in with a ton of basically positive cases, according to The Athletic, the entire Dallas team has to be isolated at the team hotel and they will be tested every day for 14 days. And I don't know if you know anything about the test, but it is sticking a thing way up in your nose. No contact allowed with other teams or staff. So people are thinking, if you have some positive tests and these players have been exposed to each other, FC Dallas could realistically have to sit out their first match, which is on the 9th. Which these are regular season matches. These matches count toward your regular season point total. So if you have to sit out a match, will you just forfeit it? Or
I imagine you just take as. But what I want to know is what the other team gets. Do they get?
You get a
one
win.
Point for a. Do they get a win or a draw?
So when you forfeit a match, like say in the regular season. A team can't travel or something because they're idiots.
Pandemic.
Yeah, or a pandemic.
Sure.
And then I think you get an automatic 3-0 win.
Oh.
So it even counts. Wait. It even counts against counts you for get, your goals allowed. Or
you
sorry,
get a
goals
3-0.
Yeah.
Whoa.
If you have to forfeit a match, you give up a 3-0 win to the opposing team.
That's crazy.
So 3 points. So if the Sounders, for instance, if their game against Dallas, which I don't think would happen because, well, it could. It's their second game. It was on July 15th. If for some reason Dallas wasn't able to play, maybe they just move one of the teams from the Eastern Conference six team group over to the Western Conference for that.
I doubt they can. I bet you there's lawyers that would be like, nope, that's not how it's structured.
Well, you end up with this is with all of these games counting toward your regular season point total. Then you end up with some weird unbalanced schedule where you've played more Eastern Conference teams than you've played Western. Or like for that Eastern Conference team, you would have played more Western Conference teams. And, you know, it gets all complicated after that.
When are we going to start calling this the MLS Isn't Back tournament? That's what I think that's about. That's the next page in this story.
I feel like we could spend the entire second half of this podcast doing fake fan outrage.
I mean, the internet is rightfully very upset about this thing. Like, I obviously want soccer back.
Of course.
Have you been? God damn it, Twitter! I hate Twitter.
Oh,
sorry, spoiler. I just lost it. Yeah, they're just openly posting live sports scores on it, like on the don't go to Twitter right now, because if you're on the homepage, it's just like that thing you're recording because you're doing a podcast with your buddy, and we live in a time of technology where you can watch things whenever you want. Spoiled! It's my own fault. I get it for going.
Oh, it's like the first thing that you see.
It's the first thing in bright colors. It's like, hey, look over here.
It's like, what's happening? What's happening?
There's only one sport back
right now.
Here's
the score.
Just tell me what's happening and let me click through, you morons. God.
But also, that's a surprising thing to see.
I've already blocked it out. I know the score, but I don't know who's winning. Anyway, sorry. I was going to look something up there, but I guess not, huh? What were we saying? Now that my own I was going to look for outrage on it, but I'm not doing that now.
No, I mean there's basically the TLDL is that a lot of Sounders fans I've seen, and I'm not sure if every team feels this way, but for a team that so far has been relatively healthy and hasn't had any reported cases as far as we've seen. A lot of Sounders fans are saying, why would you risk the health of these players and their families? Because, yes, they're young, and yes, maybe, you know, people around our age are not the highest risk for, if you contract COVID, of having it really screw up your body long term. However, if it does, I mean, you're seeing reports of even young people who recover from it, who were symptomatic, have long-term damage to their lungs. And being on a ventilator, I mean, it sounds like, a thing
sounds
helps
awesome.
You breathe.
Yeah, you're like, I get to be Darth Vader for a week?
Right.
Cool.
If you look at the diagrams of the way it works, it looks incredibly painful and terrible. And you're talking about putting a bunch of players into close proximity, sweating and breathing on each other and like pushing up against each other in the box, defending corner kicks against a team like Dallas, who has had so many positive cases already. You're not just like potentially risking these players. You are absolutely risking them, right? Because there's there's not a lot of data about how long it takes for the coronavirus to actually leave somebody who's tested positive system. Right?
And does it ever? People keep going like, we need a cure. And I'm like, name one virus that we have a cure for. Right. I don't think that exists.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, we like walk around with all this stuff and none of us really understand the big picture of how biology works over the course of thousands of years because we just don't have the data or whatever. And even then we apply our stupid politics to it to be like, masks don't work. Yes, they do. But the idea that like, you know, we don't talk about HIV or something like that anymore, but it's still there.
Yeah, it's still
we have drugs to help control it and like we can get it into a manageable position, but this stupid thing that we got right now, this COVID-19 it was from 2019. Like right. There's just not the time on it yet. So
it's one thing to say all of these teams have isolated beyond the point where anybody who's tested positive automatic like you cannot play in this tournament. Like that's not what they've said. They've said like if you've tested positive, wait it out for 14 days and then you can play again. And these are people who make a living based on their well-being, right? Like if you get injured and you can't play and it's your final year of a contract, Will Bruin, for instance, if you're injured and you can't prove that you can stay healthy and stay on this team, you just recover from a hamstring injury or you just recover from whatever it might be, and then you get COVID and you can't play for a couple months. That's your livelihood. And you're expecting these players. I mean, and these players want to play because that's also their livelihood. That's how they get paid, right?
Well, and I don't know about you, but like when you slack off for a few days at work or whatever, do you end up being like super nervous about like, oh, they're going to fire me? Obviously, right. They're going to fire me.
Right.
Like these professional athletes aren't immune to that. And they're 20s. Like I'm old as crap now, but like I think and still worry about these things. But anyone that has any doubt about their future has got to be like, yeah, I'll play, I guess. I'll put myself at risk to be able to pull this off.
Well, and you know, a lot of these contracts are structured, these players' contracts are structured is by, performance and they have incentives, right? You score X amount of goals, you play X amount of games, you start X amount of games, not even just play in.
Keep your clean sheets, stuff like that.
You get $500 if you score a goal in this game, or you get, not in specific games, but if you score a goal, you'll get $500. If you get a start, you get $1,000, like whatever it might be.
And then that's how you get a Raul Ruiz Diaz to Seattle. You say, we can pay this amount of money that's not probably the top pay for whatever Premier League you came from. But also, if you hit 20 goals, we pay you an extra $500,000. So that type of structuring.
Exactly.
And then that's taken away. I can't imagine. Like, look at Carlos Vela. Like, I was just reading ESPN FC is speculating that he's not coming.
Yeah, he's straight up said, I'm considering opting out. I have a family. Like, I don't want them to get exposed to this. I need to take care of them. I need to be close to them and healthy. You know,
it's crazy.
Speaking of Raul Ruiz Diaz and completely off topic, but I was recently reading some reports of, I think it was Nico Moreno on Twitter, who is an excellent follow for Sounders News. And specifically, if you're looking for, toward the Spanish speaking players, because Nico's a great Spanish reporter. And he himself is not Spanish. He speaks Spanish. He has
Spanish
a really great
language.
Rapport. Yes, exactly. Yeah. He has a great rapport with a lot of these players. Anyway, his reporting was The stuff that you love to see. You know how you always see, like, Nico Ladero is like, oh, I would love to someday return to Boca Juniors and go play with them. And I loved playing there. And he was like a legend when he played there. Raul Diaz recently came out and said, I would love to play the rest of my career here. He's like, my family's thinking about living in Seattle long term. We love the city. We love to play here. And, like, you have a lot of players who say that just because it's a fan, it's a, you know, fans love you when you say that kind of thing, but it seems very sincere. You know, he's like, we're talking about
Freddie Montero.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Freddie Montero comes here, meets his wife in Bellevue and then still has a house here, opened up a coffee shop here. Like, he's a Seattle resident now, even though he lives in stupid Vancouver.
I hear it's because Raul found a neck tattooist that he's really fond of, and so
now he needs to find somebody who's able to extend his neck so he can get more.
And we're at the height of genetics information in the country, so why not do some CRISPR gene editing to get that stretch that neck?
I
don't protect your neck. This is 2020. You got to stretch your neck.
Stretch your neck. I know an emu guy. You gotta meet my emu guy.
He will just put your head and neck right onto the body of a couch. It is amazing.
But don't worry, you can keep your human legs. By the way, do you want Roman Torres tattooed on your calf? Because I did that once and I can do it again.
I wish there was a way that we could have animal species playing in the MLS. Like, I wish that there could actually be an emu that was good at soccer. Like, think how fast it would be, but terrible at headers because it would just break its neck. So, like, you can't, like, terrible on set piece defense for sure. But if you need a winger, pun intended, you got the perfect emu all set up.
Well, first of all, we know that Zlatan is a giraffe, right? Yep. So we're halfway there.
Yeah,
we have animal
halfway there.
Stop it. That was great. That was terrible. That was great. We have man bear pig hybrids playing in the league, but we don't quite have just straight up throw an emu in there and see what happens.
Coach Schmetz is just on the sideline. What would the emu's name be? Like, Gerald.
Gerald.
No, that's the giraffe. That's from a book my kid reads. It's just like a emu, like probably like Steve Emu.
Yes.
Steve, get back! Stop eating worms! That's why the Sounders play on artificial turf.
It just keeps pecking at the Gatorade on the side.
Like at halftime, they like tear the oranges up and put it in a cup and like shake it and they come over, peck, 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 peck.
All these like 18-year-olds that the Sounders have recently signed are holding their Gatorade cups out. They're like freaking out.
Oh. Hey, question for you.
Yeah, great.
Do emu get coronavirus?
Well, so I was reading on Facebook recently, which does make me an expert on this. Emu,
hey,
don't get coronavirus.
Oh, great!
Yeah, they give it, but they don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, or a kangaroo. What if we played with only Australian animals? Like, what if there was a clause that you could only sign Australian animals? There's like a koala.
A wombat.
Yeah. I'm sure they have other animals, like, or they have like deadly snakes.
Yeah. Yeah, like big old spiders.
Also, could we consider adding a pit to the, like, so if you fell into the pit, there'd be like snakes to eat you?
This is just turning into like a platformer, like a platform game.
Oh, where you just get to.
Like, what was that game where you were the guy and you swaying over the pits and.
Oh, Pitfall?
Pitfall. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's what I want. Like, there could be vines hanging down. You could swing over the alligator pit. If an alligator gets out, it whips its tail.
Are there any,
I'd pay to see Roman Torres fight an alligator!
He lives in Florida now!
This is incredible!
I was just about to ask, and this is so irrelevant now, but are there any emos living in Australia? Is it possible?
Are any emus emo?
Oh, an emo? Oh, damn it, I can't.
They got the hair cut covered over their eyes like this, and like...
They have a lot of neck tattoos.
Yeah.
I want to draw this version of you. That thing that we never did. Yeah, hold on, I get a screenshot of this.
Oh, you want that?
Oh, I got it, don't worry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, well, I guess that's we're a week away from a tournament that may or may not happen. Well, that's where we're at.
We haven't talked about like the real Sounders news. Like, there's one thing, and that's they signed another child to play for the team. His name is he's Hawaiian. He's from Hawaii, but he's been playing in the. He's been playing in the academy and playing for the Tacoma Defiance and S2, and his name is Shandon Hopiao. I don't know how to say it, actually, but he's a kid.
I've been at a cabin not looking at the internet for the last several days out of Mount Rainier. I like have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, well, they signed another person who is in the very unlikely to come down with symptomatic coronavirus, so they can take him to Orlando.
Cool. Okay. Is he still in high school or anything? Is he like senior season or?
let's see. Because I just learned enough to say his first name, which is basically just my name, but with a sh at the front. No, he's 21 years old. I was wrong. Born in 1998.
You know what else happened in 1998?
Nope.
I graduated high school. In case you just returned from your hydration break, man, I've been watching a ton of Premier League. I don't know about you. I've also had a ton spoiled on Twitter.
Oh yeah, I wonder if they're gonna have hydration breaks in the MLS is back tournament.
Yeah. They're not gonna have the tournament, so no. But if the tournament goes on, then yes. All right.
Allegedly.
In case you just returned from hydration break, it's time for TLDL. Too long, didn't listen.
Too long, didn't listen. MLS hotels are using Canadian math to charge for sandwiches.
They're also using public school lunch recipes to make sandwiches. Too long, didn't listen. You got to meet Raul Riadiz.
Too long, didn't listen. You got to meet Raul Riadiz's emu guy.
Oh, he's good. Is there like an emu rancher? Is that how that works? Too long, didn't listen. Preseason Roman Torres. Basically an ostrich.
Hot rubbish. Hot